The following program is for entertainment and basic informational purposes only. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, WPRV Radio, its management, or staff. This is Rhode Island's longest-running financial talk show, Money Talk with Steve Beauvais. Taking care of business and working overtime. With market insights and so much more, talk to Steve now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. This is Money Talk with Steve Beauvais.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Money Talk Show. What a nice intro. Thanks for the great work on the station part there. Our numbers are 437-5000, 1-888-345-0790 for a full hour. If you have a question on any area of personal finance, we'd be happy to do what we can to help you. If we don't have an immediate answer, we surely will get you one. Hey, the markets were excited today. Dow closed at 20,071, up 186. NASDAQ at 56.66, up 30. The S&P at 22.97, adding just 15. Across the board, positive behavior. They usually work and move in step. Most of the markets that we talk about, the stock markets in general, they tend to be up and down together over a longer period of time, any given day or week or month for that matter. Really hard to tell. A good jobs report. That's good news. What a terrible thing we went through, huh? Seems like a long time ago, but it wasn't. Anyway, good positive news. Markets like that. Markets like what they're hearing out of Washington, if not all of us don't, and that's clearly the case. But markets like to hear lower taxes, and markets like to hear lower regulation. The Frank Dodd bill is under attack. We'll see how far that gets, how far that goes. That's just a set of rules that, in some people's opinion, make it just harder to do banking. Part of the Frank Dodd bill included, you know, legalese that kind of really pushed, not pushed, but encourage the industry to make a lot of those loans that weren't good, you know. Not everyone should own a home, you know, tomorrow morning. At some point in your life, maybe you're not ready yet. Maybe you're not strong enough yet financially or emotionally to be a property owner. And recommending to defer it if you're not ready is good advice. And I would give it to those I love, even my own children. Although I did encourage them to buy real estate, they both did that in the last 2 or 3 years. I think that was a very good move. Still a good time to do it. Had my mortgage buddy in the office today. Mortgage is 30 years, about 4%, I guess, now. And still very, very low. Don't think they're going to go up awfully fast, although they could rise in more of a steady, continuous fashion, you know, over a maybe a 1 or 2 year period. Of course, we've been hearing a lot of news about the good old U.S. stock market. It's an important core part of any long-term investment portfolio. And the markets so far year-to-date are up about 1.5% or so. Actually, believe it or not, a strong day today, but a slightly negative week for the week. Year-to-date, the Dow Jones and S&P-like stuff is up 1.5% or so in that area. What is being unnoticed right now, and not by all, of course, is the emerging markets of the world. And they are really emerging quite nicely. My theory has always been that when we're facing a major interest rate increase, that the emerging markets of the world may possibly be the best market to invest in during that period of time, because the money runs away from rising rates. Now, some of that is theory, but it can be self-fulfilling, as you know. Behavior can make a self-fulfilling prophecy. But believe it or not, if you take a look here, year-to-date, pardon me, long week, good week, S&P 500 up about 1.8% year-to-date. Emerging markets, a variety of funds, up 7%, folks. The last time interest rates rose in America was June of 04 to June of 06. During that 24-month period of rising interest rates, and I think we're in a very similar environment right now, during that two-year period, the good old USA stock market gained 10% in 2 years. Not bad, 5% a year, but not exciting, you know, staple-type returns. Europe up about 40 percent during that 2-year period, and the emerging markets gained about 70% during that bulk of that rising interest rates. And many things in the financial world are partially true, but people take them too far. This is one of them. Stock prices can appreciate in a rising interest rate environment. It's just a bit of a headwind, you know. Those of you that might be sailors realize that a wind behind you, or probably, I'm not a sailor, so I'm probably wrong, but I know it, the wind in my face isn't the best wind if I'm a sailor trying to get somewhere. It's very inefficient. Probably would require you to do the maximum amount of tacking and lengthening your trip, you know, if nothing else. So we've been talking about this emerging markets thing. It's a very odd thing. It's like gold in that it has its reasons that it occasionally does well. Other than that, it can be a bit of a pain. Gold can be that way. So can emerging markets. I've owned them in the past over the years at times when I wish I hadn't. But that's true of probably every investment I've owned at one time or another along the 30-year journey. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, a station for talking business. I'm Steve Beauvais, certified financial planner professional. All of the hosts of the program, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m., are just that. It is a designation that we all believe professionally as team members as the most appropriate one for us, you know, if nothing else. There are many credentials, if you will, in the financial world. Be careful. There are a lot of these things that get pulled, meaning there are very lightweight individuals that get very lightweight credentials that don't mean an awful lot and throw them around and make them sound like they're a lot, you know, more impressive than they are. So look for a lot of experience if you're talking to financial people. 10 years and out, I think, should be an automatic for you. Maybe not necessary if you're 22 years old yourself, you know, and investing $1,000. It's probably fine to talk to that young person your own age if you can find someone, because it's a good match as far as your view of life at that moment, you know. I'm sure at this stage of the game, I'm starting to say these things myself in my own practice, is that I'm sure at this stage of the game, a 26-year-old person would much rather talk to my son Nathan, you know, than the guy with the gray beard. So so if you're younger, be careful, because you're talking to the least experienced financial people usually in the business. So seek somebody older if you happen to be dealing with a lot of money and you're younger. If you're 25, don't let somebody 25 handle $100,000 rollover. I think you need somebody more experienced than that. So be careful on that side of it. Those of you that are on the older side, I'm on the older side anyway, age 58 soon. We tend to, you know, again, polarize to people of similar age. So you tend to have the more experienced advisor who also will tend to be more appropriate for someone with a larger account balance. There's a lot more to know. If you have money outside of IRA accounts, many people I meet in Rhode Island here and from Massachusetts as well have investments that are not sheltered at all, you know, like 401k IRA. And if you have that, then you have some investment advice going on, it's got to have tax knowledge behind it as well, income tax knowledge. There are quite a few things that you can do with cash money that are very intriguing from a cash standpoint. I own some tax-free municipal bonds myself, and I get about almost 3% in dividend, and that's tax-free completely. It's a nice return for someone a little bit older in the game, I think. And if you have if you're in a high tax bracket, good for you. Congratulations. That means your income's pretty strong, you know. But there are a lot of things that you can do with cash money that I think is probably the biggest hole that I see in most other advisors' approach to things, is that because in Rhode Island here, you know, as an advisor, the accounts that you'll be asked about are probably 98% tax shelter. So that math alone indicates there's not a great need for most of us to have a lot of income tax knowledge as far as long-term capital gains, specialized dividends, you know, things of that nature. But if you're fortunate enough to have an investment portfolio, I'm one of those people who doesn't put as much as I can into pre-tax every year. Although you hear standardly that that's good advice, and I think it is good advice for most folks. Me being who I am, of course, with specialized knowledge, there's a lot of things I can do in the tax law to get at least a lower tax rate on some of what I earn, perfectly legally, of course. All of us are entitled to something called the domestic dividend exclusion, and that means if you buy an American company, a stock, and you receive a dividend, a cash investment, you know, not an IRA. Let's say you just buy some GE stocks, right, or Ford, and you get a dividend. Well, at the end of the year, when your investment company sends you a 1099 for that dividend, It'll be in a different column. You won't notice it. You'll probably hand it to your tax people, and you won't even realize you're getting a tax discount. And that's to encourage you to take the risk. And I do believe those things are good for our country. I think it's good when tax laws encourage good behavior like self-reliance, saving for your own future, and generosity. There's a lot of tax deductions allowed in the world of giving. And, of course, I do believe it motivates some, at least some of the giving, anyway. And people are, when they get to a higher tax bracket, they start realizing it may be just as easy to spend it if it's tax deductible than to hang on to it. That's only at the highest levels. You know, that's not really you and I. But you and I being probably more like the middle market, we're going to retire hopefully someday with just about enough. I find most of the people I work with have enough to retire, but they got enough. They don't have a half a million extra or anything like that. And most people, it's a challenge enough, I think, to accumulate that much by the time we reach pre-retirement that, you know, they don't want to go on another 10 years, 12 years if they don't really have to. So the best way to assess are you ready to retire or what age can you retire would be to have a thorough, comprehensive personal retirement document drawn. It'd be like a sub-compartment of a financial plan. And what you do is you tell some financial nerd like me what age you'd like to retire, what you think your gross income needs to be, you know, and then we look at what will you have for Social Security, pensions, all that stuff. Are you going to work part-time? We crunch some numbers and just figure out, based on your withdrawal needs from your other money, based on a moderate rate of return, you know, 4 or 6, no more than 6% anyway, you know, how long will this money last? So if you're unsure what to do in your retirement, I would not advise buying financial products. Many of them are on the block right now to be outlawed within retirement accounts. They're highly, highly expensive, highly, highly restrictive, and highly, highly limiting, I think. And they can have a place occasionally. You know, nothing's wrong all the time. But be careful of financial products. They're very, very complicated. And again, sometimes they can be, an okay place to be. But right now, you may be receiving letters in the mail if you're clients of ours. You may have gotten a letter the last week or two telling you about some new changes in our business that we're not going to be getting involved in commission activity anymore. In our firm, we kind of made that move about 15 years ago on our older, more mature clients. But now even, and I think it's a good thing, if the law requires, you know, the people you deal with, if you have an IRA of $22,000 with your investment broker, you know, I think it's better that it's a portfolio going forward, a portfolio that is, you know, rebalanced automatically. If you have to pay the typical rates of someone like myself at my level of experience on an account that size, it's really not fair to the customer. It's not productive and clearly not in their best interest. And what's happening now today is most of these brokerage companies like ours have come up with these beautiful model portfolios that people can use with even smaller amounts of money. This is a great revolution, I think, for folks who don't have big accounts to get treated like they do and actually have things like rebalancing and things. But we have computers today to do some of that, and it brings the cost down. So having a real portfolio has never been more affordable than ever. So if you're receiving any letters from your people about having to change your account over to a fee-based account, it's happening across the industry. Not all companies are jumping on it quickly. We happen to be because we believe in it personally. And in the end of the game, other than a few exceptions to the rule, whenever it's in the best interest of the client, of course, we will be probably out of that game forever at that point and be operating what our goal always was to be a fee-only advisory firm. We believe that level playing field is very healthy for everyone. One of the nice things about having a portfolio and having it on a fee basis versus a commission basis is your money is always liquid, you know, and it's important, I think. One of the best pieces of advice I could give you all if you're looking for some place to invest your money is to just make sure that at the day you invest it, the next day after that, if you don't like how you're treated, you can fire these people and take your money someplace else. And you should have that leverage always. I would never, ever, as a person, ever, ever invest my money where, I have a penalty for 10 years or a penalty for 8 years. Not rollover money in order to retirement, because what if in year two of that, you're not being treated nicely? You're not being treated with respect. You're not being tended to. Phone calls are not being returned at all. You know, and you want to take your money and go someplace else, but now you can still be charged a penalty. You know, so products are a bummer. I think, in my opinion, can't have their place very soon to be, I believe, not available at all through professionals in the retirement planning account department. Commissions, I believe, will be appropriate and always available. Welcome back to the Money Talk Show. Friday afternoon, boy, an awful lot happening. Super Bowl weekend. Go Patriots, of course. Of course, I'm a Patriot fan, but that Atlanta team is an impressive team as well. I wish them well, and they do their best. But, of course, I hope that we win. Hey, I'm getting a sort of a kick out of the news right now. Here we are one month into a new year with a new president. And all we hear about is the U.S. stock market. I shared with you already the performance of the U.S. market so far this year. Up 1.5% or so, nothing too exciting. There's a lot of things that are up more than that, and are up quite a bit more. Emerging markets up 7%. Technology also up. Energy, a lot of things. Europe, a lot of things are up more than the U.S. stock market. I had mentioned over the last 2 years that the idea of having just U.S. investments was a bad idea. There are times when short periods of time in the life of a portfolio when it will look like that's a better way to go. I don't like that method. I think if you're very young, 401k plan, that sort of thing, then it's probably okay. You're plowing the money in. It's small dollars. You're very young, got a long way to go. But, you know, if we're older and we have a larger account balance, I think you need a global footprint, and I pretty much insist on that in any accounts. I don't have anyone who's asked me to or not do that. So most of my clients, anyway, agree with that. But we had a couple of years there where if you had a mix of, we call it the global Dow now, if you had a mix of U.S., Europe, and emerging market stocks, you really didn't have any gain for about 2 years. And that was my mentality during that period of time, and I haven't changed that at all. It's now, I believe, very much in favor after having a couple of years struggling with that. The S&P 500 is a great index to use to compare your young person go-go fund. Also, any of your growth and income holdings is fine. But to compare my portfolio that I have to the S&P 500, I don't do that ever. It's nothing like it. I don't want it to be anything like it. That's much too much risk for my entire portfolio. Now, I personally own, an ETF, a SPDR, which is a very low-cost way of mimicking the S&P 500. I don't believe you can do a better return than that in that category. Now, occasionally you'll see a fund that does that, but they're usually going to be growth funds. Not growth and income, different category, more risk, less dividend. But today we feel the S&P is a very efficient tool. So we tend to own an index like the SPDR, SPY, if you're curious. There's lots of them. But again, year to date, we have overseas doing better. It's a very dangerous trap comparing overseas stocks to U.S. stocks because they tend to be, not always, but they tend to be more times than not, inverse a bit, So if you look at the last 2 years and you see your international fund and your 401k plan did not nearly as well as your U.S. one, and then you change it over to be all U.S., it'll probably be the exact wrong thing to do. The odds are very high that the international fund now will now have its turn in the cycle and make you look pretty foolish. I know, I've been there, done that in my earlier days. Try to avoid that now. Reversion to the mean is the word. If you're really nerdy, Google that one. Reversion to the mean, which means in the long run, stock markets grow at similar rates, Europe and U.S., little differences, but it's not that big a difference. They just do it at different times. And I don't feel that it's really a type of thing you can predict or time, So I believe in owning global portfolios today, especially for those of us that are gray-haired and nearing a time in our life when we may need to take it as an example, or use some of the money. As an example, some of these global portfolios that I'm referring to have dividends of 3% that an investor or retiree could take. And there's still some growth potential above that. But the 3% would be like rents on an apartment. And over the long run, you hope the property goes up in value also. But every month, every week, there's always rental income there. And the older that I get, I like my investments to resemble an apartment building rather than a piece of raw land. When you're young, You don't need income, maybe financially. You know, I don't need the income for my investments now. I still like to know they're making income because I don't have 30 years to go anymore, obviously, right? 10 or more, I think, still. But not 30, surely. So the game changes as we get a little older. We should be reducing our risk as we get older. Most of the time, there are exceptions to that. I do have clients who, believe it or not, it's hard for me to comprehend until I actually witnessed it. I have quite a few clients who at 70 years old have IRA monies and tell me that they don't need it at all. Not at all. They really overestimated what they thought they would need in retirement and have that money, which will be part of their estate. So if that person is 71 years old and healthy and tells me the money's for the next group, Stephen, not for me, invested for them, well, then I think you can continue to be investing like a 50-year-old, even though you might be a 75-year-old. Depends on what the money's for. Purpose of the dollar is the most important driving force in how to handle a dollar. What's the purpose of it? This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, and we'll be right back.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bove, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Welcome back to the Money Talk Show on AM 790. This is your station for talk and business. 437-5000, 1-888-345-0790. An awful lot going on right now. I'm very happy to be here tonight. I hope you had a good week. I hope you're feeling good. Great weekend coming up, no matter what team you're for. Very early this morning, my wife told me that she, as she often does in the morning, texting with her sister from Georgia, who she loves and I love too, Joanne. And she works in Georgia now, right? She's a Rhode Island girl from Lincoln. And so she went to work with a Patriot jersey on and was told by the principal of her school, take that off. I was just surprised to hear how she reacted to it. I guess she cooperated. Fascinating little story about, you know, how everybody sees this stuff differently. You know, I'm okay with that in a fun way, but I don't think it should be wrenched upon anybody, you know. But anyway, go Pats and go Atlanta, too. Hope we have a great game, a competitive game, and may the best team win. Retirement planning is really what this show is about, really not so much football. I read an interesting article this week, and I kept it to talk to you about it a little bit. It was in Barron's, great magazine for you if you're a little more sophisticated. Alternative investing generally means real estate, commodities, energy, things like that. You know, things, not stocks and bonds, other stuff. And referring to your job in this article means, what if you have a job that's one extreme or the other? Like if you have a career like I did all of my life that was very risky. Mostly was all, you know, if you can build the business, great. If not, you don't have a paycheck. So definitely quite a risk-taking journey I've been on. It worked out very well, thankfully, thanks to a lot of other great people, not just me. But more traditional jobs, and where I've seen this a lot is in the teaching ranks. I have many family members and clients that are teachers locally. And because those jobs are structured, the union jobs are guaranteed, and we're learning, you know, even those guarantees, you got to kind of bite your lip a little on, like colas and stuff. But in general, you know, the salaries are guaranteed, not likely to be fired unless you do something absolutely ridiculous. And so the whole features of that career, opposite my own, are about security, you know, and all that, which is wonderful. It attracts, a level person who has the patience to sit in a classroom all day and teach. I couldn't do that. So it's very important, and it all works out fine. But if you have a career that is unique in a way like that, some advisors suggest, at least, that you consider balancing that off with your investment choices. As an example, I've noticed that not all, of course, there's always exceptions, my school teacher clientele, they have 403B plans, which are like a little 401K that they can do payroll deduction investing for their retirement to supplement pension, which I suggest they all do a little of that anyway. You find most of the investments that they've chosen are more aggressive. And many of them believe in that theory, that's sort of the counter, the fact that they don't have a risk-taking type job. It's just really quite the opposite, you know. Now, I thought about this more and more, and I said, you know, that makes complete sense to me. I mean, if someone wanted to approach it that way, I wouldn't say you should be reckless with the investments because your career is stable. But, you know, to consider it at least is, I think, a worthy thought. And then I went to the opposite of it, and I said, what if you had a high-risk career, like I did? And well, still do by definition, but after 40 years, it really isn't that way anymore. This, you know, very different, but by definition, it still is, you know. If when I was very young, my career was very high-risk, I had done this, that would mean I would have made all my investments in very conservative investments in order to counter it. And what a mistake that would have been. Instead of doing conservative investments when I was young, I bought land on a lake. I bought apartment buildings. I did stuff when I was 18, 19 years old that made my family members say, what, is he crazy? What is he doing? Now, I'm happy to say they all worked out very well and gave me the impression early on in my life that I had a bit of an understanding of money and business, you know, seemed to be a natural thing. But I guess the point is this is a worthwhile consideration. I've had a few clients ask about this. But I think if you're young and you're a risk taker, no, because I don't believe for any reason should you have your investments conservative if you have 30 or 40 years to go with them. So I think it works fine with the conservative career, so you'd be a little more aggressive with the investments. It kind of seems to have a nice little comfort zone there, but I don't like it on the other side of the coin. So if you're thinking about such a thing, just, you know, give it a lot of thought. I think being very conservative with your investment when you're young is a big mistake. Time is the mighty sword that I don't have. I don't have, you know, nearly as much as I once had, and neither maybe you either. So it does affect how you look at money and how you feel about money. I know for myself, at age 57, was the first time I ever bought tax-free bonds in my life. That's very stodgy. You know, it's not very exciting. But I have, you know, other things. I have emerging markets. I have S&P 500. I have real estate. I have floating rate bonds, short-term bonds, quite a variety of things in the portfolios that I oversee. Depending on whether clients need income or not, then things are a little bit different. Income investing is, sort of a new frontier in some ways. For the past, say, 10, 20 years, it was really, you know, growth, 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 growth. But now we have a generation of people, my clients, that have been with me for 25 years or longer. You know, they're not talking about that anymore. They really like they like income in their portfolio. They like to see dividends, buying more shares, always, always, every statement. Hard to do. The yield on those type of investments is the lowest it's ever been in my career, and that's 38 years. So how do you get dividend income? How do you get some yield by investing? We're not going off yet, but when we come back for our last section tonight, I'm going to talk about that, give you some ideas about how you can invest for income. And I'm going to give you the ideas, you know, how you can do it yourself. But if you're not comfortable with that, and some people just never are, you know, I have very many clients that are smart enough to do some of the investments themselves, but they just don't want to do it at this stage of the game. You know, and I'll share something else with you. I am extremely capable of fixing almost anything that breaks on my car. My father was a mechanic. But I don't want to do it, you know. One of my very early, a little funny story. 20 years ago, live, one of my first nights, I was very nervous. A gentleman called the show, and boy, he got me with a whopper question. He said, "Hey, Steve, I love your show. You guys are great. I know who you guys are. You know, don't take this the wrong way." And I went, "Uh-oh, here we go." And he said, "You know, with the internet and do-it-yourself or investment companies, what would I ever need you for?" He said to me, and I thought, that's a perfectly fine question. And you've heard me tell stories on the show here of people I've met in the office where I said to them, "I don't think you need me." You know, so it's a matter of, you know, whether you need it or not. But this gentleman, in a very nice tone of voice, and I know he meant well, he just said to me, he actually gave me a bit of a volleyball lift so I could, you know, bang it over the net. He said to me, "You know, why would I need you when I can get a magazine, the internet, all this information? I can get it myself now." That wasn't the case in 1957, you know, 1970s even. But it surely is now, so why would I need a financial advisor? And I just thought for a minute. It was not premeditated, and here's what I said. I live in Smithfield. I have a nice house and a two-car garage. Between the garage and the basement, I have every tool necessary to build a house. I still can't do it. And he said, "Good answer." And that's the point, folks. If you are someone who can do it yourself, that's wonderful because you can have lower expenses, and in the long run, you may have a little better return. The question is one major mistake, and I've seen it done. And a major mistake is sell out of the market when it's down 40 and panic. It's not likely to happen with an experienced advisor. I've never done it. In 38 years of being a financial advisor, I have never, ever panicked, ever. and closed accounts out and put everything in cash. Now, if I could time the market and had true knowledge of such things, then I probably would have done it. But not believing in market timing at all. I have many many great stories I could share with you regarding long-term investment success. One of my longest customers, a wonderful woman, 92 years old, lives in Florida. Just called me up this week to reduce her income a bit. She said she doesn't quite need quite as much at 92 as she did at 82, you know. These folks are living a long time. But I have found that your income needs do generally go down in later years. Now, in this woman's case, she was very, she was quite an exception to that rule. Matter of fact, this woman at 90 years old had as much interest in going out and doing things as I do. And she's, you know, 35 years older than me. So, I mean, she's unique. She's special. She's Laura. But you're probably more like the rest of us in that by 92 years old, if I'm still here, I don't think my spending needs will be very high. My dad is in his mid-80s. I know what his life costs to live. And so when you're planning your retirement, think about a simple concept. If you can invest money at 6% return, and that's a good number, but it's not that much of a reach, you know. 6% return, take out 10% per year, the money will last about 15 years. If you retire at 65 with Social Security and or pension, that takes you to age 80. That's life expectancy for both men and women, age 80. If after age 80 you had just your pension and Social Security and a little bit of savings left and maybe a home paid for, that's probably a nice position to be in. So because it's not a financial product and there's no commission involved, it's just a concept. It's something you can handle your retirement this way. It keeps all of your money liquid. What it doesn't do is provide you any guarantees. You have to believe in, you know, a global portfolio that will have ups and downs that in the long run, because it's not all stock, and it should never be in retirement, well, not never, but seldom, you've got a means of managing and or reducing risk. And again, there are you can get about up to about a 3% dividend on a portfolio right now. It's hard to get much higher than that. Without taking undue risk. But you can do that. There's these modern exchange-traded funds are quite impressive. Come in a variety of flavors like ice cream, almost, you know, pistachio walnut, to the point that we now have in a database in the office about 310,000 mutual funds that I can choose from when handling money on a fee basis. And that's why you, and at least that's one side of the argument, why you seek that type of service. Is you pay people a fee, might be 1% or something like that of the portfolio value annually. And because they're not allowed to earn commissions, they now have this many choices. You see, a person who only earns a commission, and, you know, there are times when it fits fine and everyone that earns a commission isn't wrong. But if you are operating on that kind of a system, you can only recommend those things that pay a commission. If you're on a fee basis, you can recommend anything in the world in that portfolio, and I do believe there's a great advantage to that amazingly increase in selections that we have on a fee basis. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, and I'm Steve Bove, and I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Money Talk Show. This is Steve Bove on Friday nights, Wednesday night with my fine son, Nathan. You've heard him bringing financial history to the program. Once a month on Wednesdays, we also have a guest, a local small business person. And we thought it would be helpful to our listeners to hear from other people who have done it. I've done it. Nathan's doing it as we speak. He's a young man. And our guests that he's in charge of are people, local people, are in business. And you may have known them and when you hear them, you know. Not to advertise them, you know, not to push them like that. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to benefit you, the listener, as always, on the Money Talk Show. And so we're hoping that if any of you are thinking of embarking into self-employment, of course it's challenging, of course it's difficult. I found it extremely rewarding experience in my life, and I've been self-employed since I was about 22 years old. I'm 58, so a long time, right? You know, and everyone's different, and that's wonderful. I think I get a big kick out of it, you know. I have a friends along the way that said to me, you haven't had a guaranteed pay since you were 20? I go, no. You didn't know what you were going to make? Yeah, I had an idea. And they go, I couldn't live like that. I go, I know. That's why I had to do that job, not you. But I couldn't do some of the things that they did that take great patience To be in one building all day long, forget it. I can't sit still for any more than an hour and a half. You know, so, I mean, we're all different. And if you have we mentioned at the beginning of the program, it's not an outrageous consideration to consider your risk of your investments at the same time you're considering the risk of your employment. there are times as well when I think it's not a good idea, but it can be an applicable thing. If you're looking to make investments to get some dividend income, you can invest in floating rate bonds or senior debentures, 4%. Short duration bonds, 3%. Real estate. I have a real estate stock that pays a dividend of 4%. Up nicely year-to-date, up more than the stock market is year-to-date. Why is that? When rates rise, real estate tends to do pretty well. Why is that, Stephen? Well, when interest rates rise, mortgage rates go up. When mortgage rates go up, rents go up. That means your apartment building now makes more income than it made before. That means if you want to sell it, it's worth more because income-generating investment vehicles, their value is pegged, in general, anyway, to a ratio of how much income they generate. And so if your apartment building is now generating higher rents and you want to sell it, you can probably get more money for it. So rising rates, there's certain things that like it. Real estate's one of them. If you want to buy real estate, it's better to buy it when the rates are low and then own it while they're rising, which is what you do in a managed portfolio. Preferred stocks, a really complete myth category, almost a 6% dividend there. But they're stocks, you know, they're like S&P, they claim that their preferred stocks by definition are not as risky as S&P stocks, baloney. Look at history, look at some charts. And high yield bonds at 5 or 6% and tax-free bonds if you're happy with a 2.5% tax-free return. Those of you who are running into alternative minimum tax problems, believe it or not, there are. This is why I love the new world of ETFs and things, an amazing variety of products available. There are tax-free ETFs right now that say right in the name of the fund, it's like if you're reading material on it, it says ATM-free. Alternative minimum tax, AMT, free. Now, some people know that. If you run into alternative minimum tax at the end of the year, you know what I'm talking about. I don't need to explain it to the rest of the gang. It's just another way of trying to get you to pay more taxes. And certain tax-free bonds are exempt from the calculation, and so some very smart companies, I can think of two of them, have created a municipal bond product that only invests in the kind of bonds that don't get included. So that helps somebody who is bumping up against the alternative minimum tax, which that's a growing group of us every year. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, 437-5000, 1-888-345-0790. I want to thank you all for joining us. It's been 25 years that we've been on the air, and we are here every evening at 5 p.m. Don So, of course, on Monday night. Tuesday night, my favorite show. It's my night off. Also, Don and his daughter. Donna Grace, very experienced now, certified financial planner professional. And that mix of senior experience and the youthful energy, this is the thing that we're experiencing in our company right now, is the influx of the youth. And, boy, their brains work fast. It's very exciting to have them around, and we're very, very happy to include them in the show. So Tuesday night, Don and Donna Grace, a very different type of financial program. Wednesday night is History Night. On my program with my son Nathan, doing that research and bringing that news to us. We spent a good part of the first year he was with us talking about basics like major companies, major trends, gold, history of gold. We had a couple of good shows on Newport. Newport's a very fascinating town. Of course, one of the hippest towns, I think, in America. And many of our leaders in our government came from that town originally. When our country was being developed, you know. So fascinating to live in Rhode Island. I really like it. Is it perfect? No. But I happen to really love New England in general, and especially good old little Rhode Island, especially Narragansett Bay. And again, thank you to all of you, is what I'm leading up to, for joining us for so many years. Many of you tune in quite often. Some do and some don't. I have clients who blush if I ask them about the show, and they say, after I hired you, I didn't listen anymore. And I say, I get it. That's not your thing, right? They go, no. Yeah, and to ease their discomfort level by telling me that they don't listen to the show, I tell them that my own dad probably would not listen to the show if I wasn't his son. Meaning, you have to have another either somebody important to you and close to you like that, or you have a natural interest in it. A person who would listen to this show, no matter what, is the same person who would read a financial book on how to learn about money and that they're wanting to educate themselves. AM radio is about education, folks. It's not as much as it is entertainment. That's kind of the FM side of things. Thursday night, of course, Don Soa, solo show, and then I try to wrap things up on Friday. Ending our day here with you all has always been quite a pleasure. We try to get a feel in the office for what's bugging you. What was that movie that Gilbert Grape? What's troubling Gilbert Grape? What's troubling you? If you don't have someone to talk to about that, and go out and meet a few people. There's quite a great variety of fine financial professionals here in Rhode Island. It's not just us. That's childish thinking, We've been around a long time, know many of them, many good people that want to do the right thing. You can tell usually that you're in the right office by the initial approach to things, and it really should be a lot of questions about you and what you want and what you need. If the conversation gets too quickly to what you have, you're probably talking to more of a salesperson than you are an advisor. A real advisor is going to spend 70-80% of the time on you, how you feel, what you're afraid of, what your past experiences have been. And then when they know that very, very well, most of us that have been around decades will all agree that how to handle the money isn't that complicated or what to put it in once you understand the needs of the client very, very, very well. Hey, have a good, safe weekend. Go Patriots. And tune in Monday night, of course.